We're going to need to test everything before we get started. I'm going from room to room trying to find internet and power and all the things. I'll tell all of you some stuff in just a second. Can somebody put in the chat? First of all, can you hear me okay? Let's just make sure you can hear me. Okay, good. All right. And then let me, thank you, y'all. Y'all can hear and see me, which is good. Let me bring Shannon on up. Note panelist. Shannon will be in the Q&A. She'll be helping. If you want to turn on your closed captioning, you can do that on your phone. Let me get my views correct. Oops. Well, it's got, let me try pinning me. There we go. And then I've got to pull up notes. I have not pulled them up yet. So I've got to find them. I was on my big computer. And then when we tried to go live, the camera wasn't working because I updated it this morning and didn't need to update it. So, but we are slowly but surely getting our shit together in this new house. Y'all, I'm just going to tell you, I have had to severely manage my mind through this move. It has been, let's put it this way. It has not met the expectations that everyone, this is so important. Let me just tell you all this before we get into today's topic. The last week, we were promised one type of move where we thought there were going to be people who were going to come help us pack and do all this other stuff. Now, I will tell you, Corinne is not above being a packer. Corinne has, if y'all don't know, in my past, when we were little, we were very broke. And we moved, I think the last count, I was in the 30s at how many times we moved since I was a little kid. And I can't tell you how many times I was the, all right, the internet is unstable. All right, let me text Chris because I'm getting warnings about my internet. I so apologize. Y'all just gonna have to bear with me. We are still trying to get all this going. But anyway, we were told like all this stuff would happen. And then I moved so many times as a kid. Like my brother and I are expert packers. We are expert movers. We are expert unpackers. So it was going to be cool that this move, that we just weren't going to have to do a lot of that stuff, that we were going to be able to keep working. And like I had planned meetings and done all kinds of stuff. Well, none of that came to fruition. Since last Thursday, I have in my little car, I've made at least 15 trips full of boxes and randos. Moved bunches of stuff. Half of our house is like the house itself is finished, but everything that was supposed to be done is not. Like it is, it's going to take weeks. Now, I'm still very grateful because it's a beautiful home, nicest house I've ever lived in. I have lots to be grateful for. But I was talking to my best friend the other day about how disappointed I was. Just, I mean, frustrated, holding it together. Like I literally, for days, have been like listening to my thoughts and saying, okay, I know you're disappointed. I know you're aggravated. I know you're frustrated. Like there's nights I've wanted to drink. There's been nights I wanted to eat. There has been times I wanted to yell at people. I've wanted to take over. I wanted to be an asshole. I have wanted to do all of it. And for a solid week, 10 days now, we're at the 10-day mark of irritation. I'm not joking. I have one night we went and had drinks that we had not planned. And I only had two. And that night was literally the move-in day. It was Monday night. The movers were supposed to be over here and done by about 4. They didn't even leave our old house until 4. And around 7, I just told Chris, I was like, I haven't ate today except for breakfast. I took Logan to breakfast that morning. And then I just looked at him and said, I just want to go get a meal. And I want to have a couple of drinks. Like, if I don't, I'm likely to yell at these poor people that have been working all day long and the person who was coordinating it all. So we did. And then I learned from that, that like I had basically hit my window of tolerance for irritation. Then on, I haven't really overate. Like I've been doing really good on that end. I yelled at Chris one morning. I got real irritated. And then later that day, I apologized. I hugged him and I apologized. And I said, I'm so sorry. I have been managing my mind as much as I can. And it just came out. Like, it just came out. But I watched myself for the last 10 days. and have so many shitty thoughts and tell myself, I know, like, this is what I want all of you to think about, especially when it comes to urges and when it comes to food. I know that if you think about the think, feel, do cycle that is inside of the No BS Weight Loss Course Module 2, it's one of the first videos we talk about the think, feel, do cycle. I want all of you to develop the skill of knowing how you react, which is your do line. Like, you know how you react. When I think and feel these things, this is exactly what I end up doing, or this is what I don't end up doing. I either eat or yell or do something along those lines. When you really understand and you get so good at listening to yourself, watching yourself, knowing when you feel something, it gives you power for when you hit situations where your brain is just automatically spiraling. Because it doesn't matter, and I want you all to hear this. This is what I really like appreciated about this last week. It doesn't matter that I thought negative things, and it didn't matter that I was feeling extremely frustrated and stuff. Because I knew myself so well, and I knew what I really wanted. What I really wanted was, we need to get these people moving. We need to make sure that we like don't piss people off right now, because we're so close to the end. There will be plenty of time to talk to somebody about feedback later, because I knew the outcome so well. And I also knew how I didn't want to show up, because I'm so familiar with how I have shown up in the past. It was so easy to take a breath, to walk it off for a minute, and to say, this is what we should do right now. This is the better decision right now. And that's what I want for all of you. Because I think that there is like a misconception that when you listen to the think, feel, do cycle and you realize like, oh, I have shitty thoughts sometimes. If I just thought better, all of my world would be perfect. That is not how it works. You're going to have busted fucking moves. You're going to have times where a kid vomits all over the floor and you're on your way to work and an important meeting. You are going to have a pet die. You're going to have a parent hit dementia. You're going to like get pregnant and you weren't planning it. Like, you cannot control the circumstances of the world. But what you can do is you can get so familiar with your usual patterns when obstacles, when roadblocks come up in life, that you pre-think about, who do I want to be when the roadblocks of life show up? I think what I watch y'all do is waste a lot of time thinking, I need to think better thoughts before I get to be who I want to be. And that's not true. You can do amazing things with some shitty thoughts as long as you're willing to pivot them. As long as you're willing to know, oh, that's just something I think sometimes. Oh, that's a normal response in this situation. I just don't want to act like I normally do when I feel frustrated. For me, I just decided what frustration, like I was angry at times, I was frustrated at times, there were things like that. I just decided when I'm feeling frustrated and when I'm feeling angry, here's how I want to show up this week. I want to show up getting things done. I want to show up in a way that's calm and reasoned. Even when my brain's acting like the fool, I want there to be the other side of me that is calm and reasoned. I want to use both sides of my brain, not just one side of my brain. And that's important. That's how we're going to stop overeating. Or that's how we're going to minimize. Like I don't even like the term anymore, stop overeating, because everybody overeats at times. Sometimes we choose it. And when I release, so in April, y'all are getting the brand new modules 3 and 4 of No BS. And in the urges module, I talk about how normal overeating is. Thin people overeat. We just want to be normal overeaters. What we don't want to be is overeating. Like what we want to do is like, if we're going to overeat, let's be mindful about it. Let's just know why we're doing it. Sometimes, like if Thanksgiving's a good opportunity for all of us to think about, a lot of times we want to overeat at Thanksgiving. It is the one time of year we get special things. We are going to overeat on those days. So like overeating itself is not a bad thing. until you make it one. And that's why it's so important for all of you to be so mindful about how you think about all the things. If you're sitting there and you're thinking overeating is bad, then you're going to think you're bad every time you overeat instead of being curious about it. If your thought was overeating is something I'm going to get really good at understanding, you're going to be curious when you overeat. So we have to watch all of that thinking. All right. So I think everybody can hear me. I am not sure. Can somebody tell me what happened to Roz? We're sending hugs and condolences. I must have, Roz P. I don't know what happened, but whatever's going on, I just saw all of it in the chat. I just wanted to say something. If maybe somebody can tell me real quick. Not 100 of you. Oh, you lost your dog and your sister. That is so awful. We just recently lost a cat. And yeah, and losing a sister. I can't imagine losing my brother. I'm so sorry. Okay, let me see what we're supposed to be talking about today. I kind of wanted to go off on a little tangent, as usual. And then let me pull up my notes so that I can deliver as promised. Hang on, I got to find it. I think this is it. And then Andrea's asking, my negative brain has taken over and I can't seem to shake it. I'm exhausted from just trying to fight it. All right, so here's the problem. You want words of wisdom, Andrea. You're trying to fight your negative thoughts. We're not here to argue. Like, I want you to think about this. How many of you just love a good fight? It's like, you know what I really want to do today? I want to get pissed or sad or frustrated or anxious just so I can have a good brawl. I would love to do that. Nobody wants to fight unless you're getting paid. As a UFC fighter or a boxer, probably you don't want to be fighting, especially we don't want to be at war with our own brain. What we want to do is we want to say, like, these are the things I'm thinking. This is where I'm at right now. Like, if you were to just, if nothing else, Andrea, if you were to drop into, this is what I'm thinking right now. This is where I'm at. How can I be kind and compassionate about these thoughts right now? That would be a totally different energy than here I am. I'm just stuck in my negative brain. I can't shake it. We're not supposed to shake it. We're supposed to look at each thought and think them through with compassion and love and understanding. So here's my advice, Andrea. Take one of your painful thoughts, just one, put it in the Q&A. I want to see it, and we'll walk it through the four ends. I'm reeling from the MSU mass shooting. Daughter just graduated and has many friends there, so close to home. Yeah. But what is reeling to you? So what you want to do, Kelly, is you want to find, like, what are the thoughts that I'm having that I would consider this is reeling thoughts? And you want to question each one of them. Like, one of the things you could do is you could just put your hand over your heart and just say, like, my daughter is safe. The friends are safe. Of course, I'm upset about it. But find the difference between, like, where are the thoughts that are, like, just what I would call normal, like, of course it's upsetting. This is not something we want to slap a happy Band-Aid on. But then are there thoughts that are causing panic and anxiety and stuff? Is your brain running away with what if scenarios? What if she'd been there? What if blah, blah, blah? That's when you want to calm yourself down. Because, like, what ifing and doing that stuff serves no purpose. It serves no purpose. Your brain is saying, please help me. Can you please calm me down? Can you please reassure me that everything is, like, I am safe. My daughter is safe. Do that and see what happens. All right. Let's get to today's stuff. Shannon, I'll let you take over in the Q&A for a moment. Let's do a couple of announcements. Do not forget that this month we are focusing on doable hunger all month long. So just make sure that if you go to the website over at nobiaswomen.com, please check out monthly weight loss challenges. And you can see where we are doing some hunger challenges this week. And then do not forget that camp. So if you want to come to No BS Excuses Camp, in-person is sold out, but our virtual tickets are for sale. And you can ask anybody. I would bet my fake boobs and my fake ass hair because this is not a real blonde, not anymore. Well, I am a real blonde, but all of this does not turn, I don't get roots there anymore because they're all gray. I would bet all of it that if you were to just ask people about virtual camp, people will tell you it's life-changing. We do such a stellar job. It's not your typical fucking Zoom call. We work really hard to make the virtual experience super fucking special. So if you want to come, it's no BS, no excuses. You can go check it out on the website. And the price does go up for all virtual campers in 2 weeks. So you're going to want to get on top of that now. And then you'll get to vote on the swag if you sign up by February 28th. So on February 28th, anybody who has signed up for camp, period, we're going to have a special call and we're going to show you all the swag things and we're going to let everybody vote and we're going to curate a the people wanted it swag box. All right. Then let's make sure. So today we're talking about water, sleep, and planning so that you can master your doable hunger. So number one, doable hunger is affected by the other basics. Now, I watch y'all do this all the time. You act like you ain't got to be drinking your water and you act like you don't need to get your sleep, or y'all will like get so hard on yourselves about some shit and you won't even be nailing the essentials. When it comes to urges specifically, you are not going to be able to say no to them when you are dehydrated. Let me tell you why. When you are dehydrated, so first of all, your body prioritizes water above all. In 3 days without water, you die. In 30 days without food, you start getting to the point where you could die. There are people in this world who do spiritual food fasts for 30 days. That's just part of their culture. Water, we cannot fast from. When you do not have enough water, your body goes into what's called emergency mode. It is like it hits the fire alarm. I'm low on water. I need to do every desperate attempt I can to get said bitch drinking the hydration. That is why, like a lot of you have afternoon urges or you have evening urges, is because you're going into it dehydrated. And then you'll have like your shitty thoughts. It'll either be, I'm stressed out and all this other stuff, or it'll be like, I'm a habit eater, whatever it is. If you're dehydrated, your brain is taking your reasoning brain offline. It wants you to get primal because it's like, I need to be primal. I need her to drink water. Here's what I don't need her to do. She ain't got to think about her future. I don't give a fuck what she wants to look like this summer on the beach. I don't give a shit of what she's going to be wearing to that daughter's wedding. None of that matters. You know what matters? Water right now. So it's going to sexy talk you. It's going to ask for food. It's not going to be like, hey, I could use some hydration. You want to go fill your water bottle? No, it's going to be like, you need Oreos and you need Oreos stat, because even like food like Oreos has some hydration. Your body will take whatever it can get. And it knows you. It knows that if you ain't got enough water, it's like, well, she will turn down Cheetos. Now it's 9 o'clock at night. Ice cream, she loves that shit. And she looks tired. It'll be an easy sell. That is what your brain's doing. So you, like, let's be a little bit smarter than our habit brain. Let's keep hydrated. Hydration is one of the easiest ways for you to lose weight. It's one of the easiest ways for you to cut a lot of urges down. And here's the other sidecar benefit to being hydrated. You get tired when you're dehydrated. And what happens when we're tired? Not only do we want to eat, but we get a little short. It's hard to manage our emotions. It's hard to think clearly. It's hard to turn on our reasoning brain. So it's like, well, I know I'm having a shitty thought. I really need to think these things. It's like when you're dehydrated, your brain is like, no, no. Take that reasoning brain right offline. She's got more important fish to fry than to be sitting there reasoning with herself. She needs to be drinking water. So habit brain, you take over. You're good at it. That's what happens. So we want to make sure that we're drinking our water. Sleep is a close second. I would prioritize water first. Then I would work on the sleep. Not because I think that sleep is not as important, but water, I think we all can get down. Like, you might not like the taste of water, but I guarantee you, if you went 3 days without anything, as Papa said, bark don't taste bitter to the hungry fucking little squirrel. If we took away your diet soda and your sweet tea and your juice and your latte and all the thingies that you compensate for water, you ain't got no wine to wind down with at night. You take all that shit away, I'll give you about 24 hours. I bet a glass of water will be like the nectar of the gods. You trust me on this. Back in my bodybuilding days, I swear to God, we'd do a water deplete. We had to go 24 hours without water. I never advise anybody to do bodybuilding competitions. I'm just saying, not the healthiest moments of my life. But by about 18 hours in, my girlfriend and I were sleeping in like basically a Motel 8 in Jackson, Tennessee, and the toilet was running. And we were both laying there bitching and moaning about how thirsty we were. We were done dreaming of donuts and pizza and all the things we would eat when the show was over. We were now like, I just want a fucking glass of water. And I looked at her and I said, this is like, I would go right now and stick my face in that toilet bowl that's running. It felt cruel. That's how bad I wanted water. So we're going to get that. Then sleep. Sleep is the next one. When you're really exhausted, when you're really tired, it's very like your reasoning brain goes offline. A lot of you, when you're sleep deprived, you're setting yourself up to have more urges. Your brain will be like, oh, I'm just so tired. I should eat some sugar. This is why very often it wants you to eat something. It's just trying to get that boost. And I will tell you, I cannot tell you how many people who've been on a weight loss dollar plateau, and I have told them, make sure you're at least getting 7 hours of sleep, and they prioritize their sleep. And the next thing you know, their body shakes loose of some weight. The reason why is that like water is making everything work. So it's like making all of your functions work. It's going to reduce a lot of your urges, a lot of your cravings, all of that stuff. Sleep is a fat burner at night. When you're getting sleep, after you get so many hours, your body starts burning a lot of calories because it goes to work on repairing like a lot of your brain synapses. It's going to work on your joints, your bones, all the things. So if you want to burn more calories, you want to make sure that you are getting like your 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Now, if you are a new parent or something big is going on in your life, that's fine. Like, get rest when you can. If you can meditate, do it, do all that kind of stuff. But for the vast majority of us, most of the time, we just need to get our asses in bed and we need to prioritize that sleep. Another thing that could be affecting your doable hunger is you might need to start planning different ways to eat your food. So a lot of us, we just get into the habit of eating the same way all the time. And that's why it's really like for me, especially, I have to super pay attention. Like Chris and I, honestly, we love eating in bed. Like that is like dinner in bed is our favorite thing. We put on our favorite show. We get our dinner together. We lay in the bed. We laugh. We watch TV and we eat. Well, when that shit starts, it is really hard for me to pay attention to stopping at enough. Like almost impossible. Why? Number one, I'm having a good time. Number two, I'm doing what I always do. Always. And so if I'm doing what I always do, then my brain falls into habit mode and it just starts running on autopilot. So sometimes what we need to do when we are focusing on having enough is you're going to need to switch up some of your patterns. So you might need to, for a while, to really dial into enough. Do not sit in the same chair. Do not sit at the same place at the table. Even rotating your chair, moving around. If I went from the bed to this chair in my bedroom, that would be different. Watching a different show. Don't watch the same shit you always watch. Do little things that can disrupt being in such a habit pattern. Some people are asking about sleep. What if I wake up after five and a half hours of sleep? Then lay there, do deep breathing, don't get up. Try laying there for an hour. And like literally, if your brain starts, this happens to me a lot. A lot of times I wake up at 2 a.m. and my brain is just like, oh, I've got all your ideas. I have everything that you're going to do tomorrow. Like it just starts. I get really excited about my life. And so a lot of times I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about really cool things I can do for y'all. And I tell my brain, just like if it was a toddler. Like if you had a little kid and you were trying to get them used to sleeping through the night and they were getting up and they were crying, at some point what you do is you let them lay there until they wear themselves out. And then they train their brain to not get up. A lot of you, what's happened is over time, you've gotten up simply because your brain wakes up and you've trained your brain. Oh, we get up when that happens. Instead of training your brain, and it takes a few weeks. I mean, you're going to be bored as fuck and you're going to think it's not working and you're going to think it sucks and you're going to wish you just go back to sleep. You're going to have all the thoughts and you're just going to take a big deep breath and you're just going to remind yourself, I'm working on getting an extra 30 minutes of sleep. I'm working on retraining myself to be able to get up to about 7 to 9 hours. Now, I don't know what y'all, somebody is talking about seeing my facial pores. I'm not sure what that was about. Anyway, one of the other things that you can do is also track how you're doing. Now, most people need 7 to 9. My husband needs about 10. He's outside the window, which means there's going to be some of you that are under the window. You'll know it by this. Are you tired during the day? Are you able to focus most of the day? If you've got good energy and stuff, then don't try to get more sleep. You might be getting enough for your body. But most people need to, like, you need a target and it's 7 to 9. And you'll know if you're getting enough by watch how you do throughout the day. Do you complain that you're tired? Do you need to eat in order to have energy? Are you relying on coffee? Are you doing those things? If that's the case, you're not good at 5 to 6 hours of sleep. You're called kidding yourself. That's delusional thinking. If you can go all day and you don't need coffee and you don't need to snack and like you, maybe you yawn and stuff, but you don't feel like you truly crash and burn, you probably like, there you go. So we're going to switch up how we eat to get in touch with our enough. We are also going to hydrate so that we're not mistaking dehydration for hunger and needing food, and so that we can deal with our urges better, and so that we can also have our reasoning brain online. And we're also going to sleep because sleep is so important. All right, let me go to questions and see what y'all have to ask. Is it possible to get too much sleep? I don't know. I'll let you know if it ever happens to me. I'm sure, like, there's the too much. There's a possibility for all of it. Probably what I would do, Kim, is just Google it and just see what they say on the Googles. But if I had to guess, yeah, you can do too much of anything. You know, if you're sleeping so much that you're not able to achieve your dreams and you're sleeping so much that like you're missing out on your life, then yeah, you would be sleeping too much. Last week, my husband and I had date day both Thursday and Friday. We split everything. We ate lunch and dinner, no extra snacking. I did have an alcoholic drink both nights. I don't drink. This is the first in years. I ate when hungry and did have a few bites past enough. Every day since then, the scale shows a gain. I am up 5 pounds. I have so many thoughts. I want to give up. I want to quit. So tell me this, Melissa, what is the benefit of giving up and quitting at this point? I want to find a quick fix. I'll tell you a quick fix. Drink your water, get off the scale, and get back to your basics. Get out of your head for a minute. Number one, Melissa, there's no benefit to anything you're thinking. You're sitting there and saying, I planned really well. I did all these things. The scale is up 5 pounds, and I've decided it's because of that. I'm going to blame it on that. And so now I'm going to quit and I'm going to give up, lying to myself that if I just go back to eating like a jackass, somehow that's going to be helpful. No, you know, the only thing giving up right now and quitting will do. I give up and I quit. I immediately feel relief. I don't have to try anymore. You know why we feel relief? It ain't because it's a good thing. This is called negative relief. This is, I'm talking to myself like a jackass. I'm telling myself, nothing's working. I'm going backward. All of those good behaviors, they don't count because the scale is up 5 pounds and I'm going to blame all of it on the scale. So here's what I should do. I should quit so that in another week, I can be extremely disappointed and be right back where I started. But that moment when you quit, that relief comes in because all that bitching and moaning you're doing, Melissa, goes away. For a few days, you're just going to be back to eating. Be like, yeah, nothing worked. I might as well eat. And you're going to be like, yeah, this feels good. Getting dopamine off all this food and shit. And then a few days goes by. You're Googling. You're Pinteresting. You're looking for your next diet. You're sitting there regretting. I probably shouldn't have quit. I wish I would have just kept going. If I just had some patience, you would have, you what if yourself until you feel really terrible again. And then you'll go back to trying because now you've talked to yourself like an asshole enough to where it's like, I feel so terrible about myself. I should do something. Because both scenarios, the quitting and the trying again, you're doing it for one reason, to get away from you and your bullshit thinking. So we don't need to fit, like we don't need to be quitting and starting over all the time. We need to be on point around our bullshit thinking. Like I want to tell you, like I want you to say, what is the upside of me quitting? Like if I spent the rest of my life, like if I was not sitting here making a 5 pound gain, connected to this, does it logically make sense that if I was to every time I have a date night and every time I do things that I always plan and I pay attention and I split things, does it seem like those are habits that would eventually lead to weight loss? Probably. But my brain is freaking out. You could be up 5 pounds just because the foods you ate and the alcohol, you said yourself, I haven't drank in years. You had 2 drinks last week. Your body doesn't know how to treat the poisons. It probably is holding water. It probably is doing all of it, trying to flush it out. If y'all went out and you had food you're not normally eating, even if you ate it to enough and stuff, your body's like, whoa, what is this shit? I'm going to need to hold on to the waters. And I'm going to need a week to figure out how to get all this out of the system because I'm not used to processing like this. I'm not used to these sodium levels. I'm not used to sodium plus alcohol. I'm not used to any of it. So you can either let your body do what it needs to do while you keep good habits, or you can freak out about your body, quit, and treat yourself like an asshole. But it'll be your choice. I just want you to know what you're dealing with. I'm only a couple of pounds from goal. I've been increasing my exercise lately because it feels so good and I'm building my strength. Good for you. Me too, girl. I've been lifting. I lifted this morning. I got to tell you too, this morning when I was lifting, I'm doing these big shoulder lifts. I'm in my new gym. Of course, everybody, the movers broke my fucking Peloton treadmill. Then I had to be on Peloton app for over 30 minutes. We had tried everything and they made me walk through every step again before they would let me pay for a serviceman. I was just like, just send the motherfucker. Why I got to do all this? I digress. But I've been really lifting because I love it too. And I'm just telling you, it is so much fun. I feel like I'm hungrier lately, but I'm so focused on not overeating so I can lose the last couple of pounds. How do I balance my hunger with my desire to lose those last couple of pounds? All right. So you're hungrier. It's okay to eat a little bit more. You just want to make sure that you're not having this thought. I've been exercising, so I should eat more. If your body is legit asking for a little more food, especially like you said, you're working on building your strength, then here's what you should add. I would add in protein. Do not add in anything else. Bump, like if you're eating chicken at night, you're going to eat a little bit extra chicken. If you are eating cottage cheese at breakfast, you're going to eat a little bit more cottage cheese. That's what I do. So when I'm in a real heavy lifting cycle, I don't add like crackers and skinny cows. I don't add shit. I add protein because I'm lifting for my muscles. And your muscles need the protein. So add the protein. Plus protein also will help like keep the hunger down a little bit. It processes a little different, but it's got so many good like amino acids and so many good nutrients and stuff like that. You will find that you'll get stronger faster too, in my opinion. At least I do. Let's see. Is everybody, everybody's wondering about my computer? Yeah, like my other computer. Well, first of all, even if I was at the other one, you'd see a big fucking white wall behind me because we don't have any artwork or anything installed. So it would just be a blank ass wall. I always get 7 to 9 hours of sleep, sometimes more. However, I have multiple sclerosis. I can't tell you when I have ever felt rested. Have you ever coached someone with this issue? Are there other things I might need to be doing outside of the basics? Amanda, I would probably just make sure that your nutrition is on point. Like when you have like MS, I have an aunt that has MS. When you have MS and stuff, you want to make sure that you're just taking care of your body in an amazing way. Also, you want to have mental nutrition. Mental nutrition is where like listen to a lot of what we talk about because you're going to want to have uncover the relationship you have with your multiple sclerosis. So having that plus, if you're emotionally taking care of yourself, you're physically taking care of yourself, you're nutritionally taking care of yourself, that will help a lot. But sometimes when you have certain diagnosis and stuff, you know, we just have to do the best we can. But I would highly recommend, I tell you what I would recommend you do is there is a course inside of No BS for relationships. Take the relationships course, and I want you to have a relationship with MS. Go through it as if you are trying to befriend and create an amazing connection to your MS. And that might help just at least alleviate what we call like the emotional fatigue that we have that goes on in life. I'm constantly trying to show people sometimes what we need to do is we need to work on our emotional fatigue. Sometimes it's not physical. And when you lift the emotional fatigue off of yourself, you wouldn't believe how much more rested you actually feel without having to get more sleep and do other things. I plan 95% of the time. Yesterday, when I didn't plan, I ate 4 sweet treats that I wouldn't plan all in one day. I noticed I was thinking, this is the only time I can eat like this. Why is it the only time? I think like this meant without any control. What is up with that? I do eat these foods on plan, but whenever I don't plan, I get all bingy with the sweets. So when we release in April the new Urges course, I'm going to be talking about this. There's a concept called mental restriction, Kelly. Mental restriction is where even though you're planning these foods, when you're eating them, you may still be telling yourself things like, I shouldn't be eating this. This won't help me lose weight. Like, well, I'm planning it, but I doubt I'll lose weight. Like you might have or you might think like, well, in my past diets, this was a no-no food. Well, here I am like being bad. So mental restriction for all of you is where we are eating the foods that we plan. You know, because one of the things I'm teaching y'all is we are going to start noticing that food is just food. You literally could lose weight eating anything. Now, that doesn't mean that you will be like a nutritional powerhouse if you were to try to lose weight on a Twinkie diet, but you literally could. So mental restriction is like when I have you plan the foods that you want to eat, like let's say the cakes and the pizzas and stuff, if you're eating it, but the whole time you're eating it, you're feeling guilty, worried, anxious, bad, panicked, not great, anything in the not great, right? You've deprived yourself of the emotion that you actually wanted from the food. And that's why it won't feel great. And that's why then when you get around that food again, you might need to eat it out of control to shut down. You shouldn't be eating that. I don't know. Corinne must be smoking crack to think that we can all eat pizza and still lose weight. Like, I want you to think about when you're eating pizza and you're eating cupcakes and you're eating the food you love, one of the things that we want to experience when we have those foods is we want them to taste good. We want to enjoy them. Like, we're eating them for joy. But if you're sitting there and talking to yourself like a butthole the whole time, if your automatic brain is running haywire with like should, and stuff like that, you're not getting what you sought out, even if you're getting the food. So then what your brain is like, well, shit, when you eat it another time, it wants to eat it out of control because it's like, I'm expecting to enjoy this. When she eats it on plan, she's not enjoying it. So now I'm going to have her go back to binging. I'm going to have her do this other stuff because at least when she binges, she gets to a point where she's not listening to my shitty side of me anymore. She's just eating. That's what happens. So what is the answer? The answer is to continue to plan. And now it's to turn up the volume of what is the conversation I have around these foods when I plan it and when I'm eating it and after. Am I mentally depriving myself? Am I mentally restricting myself around these foods? I need to hear the conversation. I need to notice what I'm thinking. Then you take those things and you take them through the four ends, which is in module two. You notice. You think about why it would be normal for you to think those kinds of things around your foods. You neutralize what's happening, like this is just a Twinkie. This is just cake. And then you think about, all right, what's going to be my next best thought and action about these foods that will help me one day become someone who's in control, who doesn't feel the need to overeat? And then you mentally prepare so that the next time you eat, you're listening again. And then each time you hear your brain going like, you shouldn't eat that, blah, blah. It's like, no, I actually am working on eating this and enjoying it. So that one day I will not feel compelled to binge on it anymore. Or if nothing else, you just tell yourself when you hear that voice in the moment, you put your hand over your heart and you tell yourself, I'm safe. I don't need to overeat. I'm not doing anything bad. And you calm your nervous system down. And you do that enough, and then your brain gets retrained around some of your food. What are the thoughts that can help me draw the line between self-compassion and justifying and making excuses? Had an overeat on Valentine's Day and the scale is up 3.5 pounds in one day, mostly water, but still. So if it's mostly water, why are you going like, but I'm also calm. Just notice what you're doing. It's like, but still my ass, but still is it shouldn't be happening. But still I was bad, but still blah, blah, blah. Whatever your but still with your 3 exclamation points at the end is, those are the thoughts you need to be thinking about. Those are the thoughts you need to tell yourself. I did nothing wrong. On Valentine's Day, I overate. I didn't do anything wrong. But here's what is the line between self-compassion and justifying? Justifying would be saying, well, it was Valentine's Day. You only get to do it once, blah, 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 blah. Self-compassion would be like, I'm sorry. I know I've got a shitty little mic, y'all. I'm having to do it on my laptop. Somebody said the audio goes out. My computer will be back up functioning, hopefully by today. The camera went out before I had the call. So we're just making do over here with the laptop. I'll try not to yell. But the difference between self-compassion and justifying would be like, it's Valentine's Day. It's this, blah, 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 blah. Self-compassion would be, it was Valentine's Day, I overate, and now I want to look at all the reasons why. I really want to understand it so that maybe next Valentine's Day, if I want to, I can do it differently. But I'm not going to be spinning out over here. Like, do I want to waste time freaking out over 3.5 pounds? Or do I just want to get back to business and figure out, all right, what was the overeat about? So I don't want to overeat every holiday. So this is a good opportunity. I just overate on a holiday. Now I can break it down to figure out, how did I talk myself into it so that every holiday from this moment forward, I know what to look out for so that when I hear it, I can do something different about it. That would be the difference between self-compassion and justifying. Do you ever eat salty rotisserie chicken? Yes. I know it is salty, but easy. Do you think it's okay? I'm going to tell you, whenever I food prep, Tiff, I always go buy a rotisserie chicken. That Jane, my best friend, she buys one every week, breaks it down, and that's the chicken that she eats for the week. Just drink some water. I'm doing a 2-week, unless you got hypertension or whatever, but y'all get so worked up over salty foods and the scale, y'all are missing the point of life. Like, everything that I'm teaching, y'all are missing the point. When you weigh in, if you know it's because you ate something salty, that's not a problem. Just because the scale will go up a pound or two for a couple of days while it works out the sodium, you're not in a bad habit. Now, if the scale's up 2 pounds because you ate your fucking face off of a salt lick, chips, oil and vinegar, pretzels, whatever, because you felt bad about yourself, then yeah. But the problem isn't the salty food. The problem is you were overeating all of the salty foods. Why were you overeating to begin with? But if your scale is just up 2 pounds because you had drinks and, like, I planned my drinks, blah, blah, blah. After 3 days, the scale's up 5 pounds. I ate rotisserie chicken, or like a lot of you, if you go eat Mexican, I promise you, if I eat Mexican for a couple of days, my scale's up. My body holds on to water because I don't eat that much salt that often. But if I go to Mexican and I don't eat past enough, I just know it's salt. That's not a Corinne problem. That's not a behavior problem. That's just salt. So I just keep going about my business. There's no upside to me beating myself up because I held some sodium. It would be like saying, well, tell me this. You know, when I do a leg day, like for me, I do leg day, I'm up 3 to 5 pounds the next couple of days because I'm so fucking sore. My muscles are holding water. But should I quit working out? Could you imagine? That's a no. You know what I should do? Quit freaking out and be so proud that I'm doing heavy leg days, knowing that's how these legs are going to look better. Even if it means being up 3 to 5 pounds and be like, yep, the price of bigger legs that are muscular is not being a fucking idiot every time the scale goes up because I lifted weights. Time to be patient. Time to look forward to the progress. So just be really mindful of stuff. Why am I sabotaging myself the night before I weigh in? Well, that's a good question to ask, Lisa. What do you tell yourself the night before? Night before your next weigh-in, I want you to just listen to all the things that you tell yourself the day before. The answer, why we sabotage, sabotage is always just something that you do. Okay. So you're doing it because of something you're telling yourself the day before. If you're telling yourself things like, I probably didn't lose weight this week. I doubt the scale will go down. I'm going to be disappointed tomorrow. If you're thinking shit like that, you're driving yourself crazy and wanting to eat. You're using yourself, like you're working yourself up into anxiety. And if you tend to deal with anxiety by eating, then the more anxiety that you create for yourself the day before, the more likely you are to eat. Let's see, Tab asked, if I eat my plan and sometimes I get hungry after an hour or two, as opposed to the typical 3 to 4 hours, should I add more lean proteins in my meal? I don't always, it doesn't always happen, but some days I'm just hungrier than others. And I know that's normal. You can add more protein if you want to. But if it's only happening every now and then, I just wouldn't worry about it. I would just eat something on those days. If you're a little hungrier, just be like, this is one of those days where I just have a snack. And I know it's because I'm hungry. And here's the types of snacks that I always eat on hungrier days, so that they're always kind of running in the background of your plans. I'm doing a 2-week dietary flush to reset my system. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like diarrhea. Probably isn't, but it sounds like diarrhea. The very next day when it ends, I'm in Vegas for four days for work. How can I make sure I don't go hog wild while I get there? Well, you watch your thoughts. Number one, why are you doing the dietary flush? If you're sitting there telling yourself, I'm going to look lean for Vegas. And if the whole time you're telling yourself, like, I just got to make it through these 2 weeks and then I get to eat whatever I want, you have to be really mindful about how you're setting yourself up. Just because you did a 2-week dietary flush to reset your system doesn't, like, you need to start telling yourself right now. Like you're like, how do I not go hog wild? You need to start telling yourself right now, this has nothing to do with what I eat in Vegas. I'm going to be doing this. And then when I get to Vegas, I'm going to plan my food. There's no drama here. You need to tell your brain right now, zero drama to be had. Like, if you start telling yourself right now, when I get to Vegas, oh, here's how I'm going to eat. Here's exactly what we're going to be doing. There's no hog wild. There's called plan. There's called decisions. And that's what I'm doing right now. I did the halftime method for breakfast, then did halftime on the half. Is that the correct way to do it? I think so. I think that's what you're asking. Basically, it's like, if you do the halftime method and you wait, so you cut your food in half and you sit there and you're like, all right, am I hungry or not? Do I need to keep going? Then you just cut the remaining food in half again. You just keep cutting your food in half. And then every time you cut it in half, that gives you the natural next stopping point for you to just assess and evaluate if you want to keep eating. I don't know what y'all are talking about when it comes to Frankenfoods inside of the chat, but here, can I just say this about everyone? First of all, everybody has different standards for what they put into their body, and no one's standards for the foods that they choose to eat is morally better or morally worse. I'm gonna say it again. I don't give a fuck what anybody eats. Nobody is going inside the pearly gates, or nobody is better than anyone or worse than anyone based on the foods that they choose to eat. Like, my mother-in-law is very organic, very natural. She would, like, I know y'all are talking about those rotisserie chickens. Guess what? She'd never eat one of those rotisserie chickens. Ever. She has a certain way that she likes to eat for herself, and that, like, for her values and for how she wants to live and how she wants to feel, that matches up. Me, I'd eat a rotisserie chicken every fucking day if somebody would just deliver it to me. Like I eat things that she would never eat. Like, I drink, like, Chris and I drink that Purple Extend. Like, it's manna from heaven. Nana, she would never drink it. But we aren't any better and we ain't any worse because of the way we choose to eat. So what's important when all of y'all are sitting and talking about food choices, like, some people will say, like, you know, this has this in it and this has this. Some people don't like chemicals. I will give you a good example. I have no problems with food coloring, but my son cannot do red food dye. It is not helpful for him. He cannot focus. He very often has no emotional control for about 3 hours after red food dye. He, like, at 20 years old still, if Logan eats stuff with red food dye in it, he almost always has a little meltdown. Like, he'll cry, something will frustrate him, he can't focus, he's really hard on himself. So we don't give it to him. That doesn't make us better than everybody else who does not eat red food dye. It just makes us aware of what our values are and what we want to put in our bodies and what we don't want to put in our bodies. So the only reason why I say that is because I just want y'all all to remember that it is okay if somebody wants to eat Twinkies, just as much as it's okay if somebody wants to eat broccoli. And I think that that's important. It's just really important for us to remember, like, the only way that you're ever not going to be your own food police in your head, and the way that you're not going to be judgy with yourself about food and stuff, is if you free yourself from thinking the same about what other people do too. So a lot of times, I just think it's important. I know that my friend Jane has worked on this so hard. She's had binge eating disorder, since she was about 18 years old. And food police was like one of the things that just went rampant in her head. She had so many rules for her own food. She had so many things going on for herself. And then she would catch herself judging what other people would think. And it was such a hard life for her. And she really has worked so hard on like freeing herself of the morality around food and just accepting, like, here's how I like to eat. And I don't want to apologize to myself or anybody else ever again for when I want to eat ice cream versus when I want to eat, you know, granola or whatever it is. Okay. All right. Thank you, Sarah, for giving me the 3-minute warning. I'm going to now go into the other room. I hope all of you have an amazing day. If we didn't get to your question inside of here, will you make sure that you post it inside of Ask Coaches? That's a great place for you to take all of your questions. And then we're getting out of here. I will see y'all on Sunday, hopefully on the big computer. We're going to know in about 2 minutes if it works. Y'all have a good one. Bye-bye. No. There we go.